In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, dear brothers and sisters, we're near the end of another school year, close to graduation, and at this time, we usually look back on the events of the year and gauge how they went. So I ask you, how did the school year go for you? Was it everything that you wanted it to be? Did you have a lot of good times? Did you make a lot of friends? When I look back on my high school and college years, I can remember a lot of things that I learned, a lot of good memories, but there's also a lot of things that I've forgotten, probably more. And so I ask you, as you leave Emmanuel and as you go back home, what's the most important thing for you to remember, for you to hold on to? You probably have a lot of thoughts running through your head right now. It can be difficult to choose just one. Well, let me give you a little help. Let me tell you about another person who learned a lot, received a pretty good education, and traveled the world a lot. The Apostle Paul. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth and tells them what the most important thing was for him to remember and for him to preach to them. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So even though Paul had traveled many places, he had seen many sights, he had conversed with many people, the most important thing for him to remember was Christ crucified. Of all the things that he could share with the Corinthians, that's the one thing that he chose. But how can one say that Christ crucified is the only thing worth remembering? What about all the other subjects that we study here at Emmanuel? What about math, science, geography, Spanish? The list goes on. Aren't those things worth remembering as well? Well, obviously it is true. We wouldn't study them if they weren't worth remembering, but they're done under the greater context of the Scriptures. Too many educational institutions these days either disregard the teaching of Christ crucified completely, or they label it as inferior to the rest of the academic world. Value the education that you receive at Emmanuel. The fact that Jesus Christ and Him dying on a cross for your sins penetrates every other area of study here. You have undoubtedly been taught about Christ crucified in many of your classes here at Emmanuel. But do you remember what it means, what implications it has for you specifically? Perhaps it can be difficult to come up with a simple definition of what Christ crucified means for us because the term contains so much. Sure, it may only be two words. It doesn't contain enough grammatical structure to be a complete sentence. But be assured that that simple term, Christ crucified, contains more knowledge for you than all the textbooks of the world combined. In Christ crucified, we see that we are sinful creatures destined for an eternity of punishment, like a wriggling worm on the end of a hook. But in Christ crucified, we also see the hope that we have, the hope of salvation, the fact that Jesus Himself, the perfect Son of God, came down from heaven, suffered and died in your place, and now puts His righteousness on you. In Christ crucified, we see the basis of our faith. And it is in this crucifixion and perfection of Christ that we are found at peace with God. Christ crucified gives us power in the gospel, in word and sacrament, to go out and spread that message to others as well. It gives us the confidence that we can approach the throne of God in prayer and be assured that He will hear us. Sounds pretty important to us, doesn't it? Well, do you remember learning about it here at Emmanuel? I can guarantee you that when you leave, you're going to come across a lot of different definitions of what Christ crucified means in the world. Take, for example, the state of the world only 130-some years after the ascension of Christ. The Roman Empire was in full force and controlled much of the known world. They dictated the laws in society. and Christians were persecuted because they confessed Christ. They were easy targets because you could pick on them and they wouldn't retaliate. The authorities in many Roman provinces began to hunt down Christians almost as a sport. The Romans would torture, beat, enslave, imprison, and kill in inhumane ways the Christians who would not renounce Christ crucified. And when these tactics didn't work, they would defame the Christians through lies and false propaganda in society. Three such accusations brought against Christians under the realm of Marcus Aurelius were cannibalism, atheism, and incest. It sounds kind of ridiculous to us, doesn't it? How can Christians be accused of these things? Look around you. Look to your left and your right. Do you see cannibals? Do you see atheists or sexually immoral people? I don't either. But the reasons that the Romans accused the Christians of these things were because they needed to spread these lies against them in order to try to defame their teaching of Christ crucified. Christians were labeled as cannibals because they ate the flesh and drank the blood of their Lord Jesus. We know this as the fellowship of the Lord's communion, of the Lord's Supper or communion, the real presence of the Lord's body and blood in the bread and the wine. The Romans failed to understand what this meant and the significance that it had, that it brought the forgiveness of sins and that it gave us the preservation of our faith, because they failed to believe in Christ crucified. According to the Romans, Christians lived lives of incest because they talked about their fellow believers as brothers and sisters in Christ. And certainly it would be immoral for us to marry one of our brothers and sisters, but the Christians weren't referring to one another in a biological sense of the word. The Romans failed to understand that the Christians referred to themselves as brothers and sisters because of that bond they had of their faith, the priesthood of all believers that the Christians shared, the very reason that I was able to address you as my brothers and sisters at the beginning of this chapel. Perhaps the fact that the Romans called the Christians atheists is most shocking of all to us. How can Christians, of all people, be labeled among those who don't believe in a God? Well, the Romans called them atheists because the Christians denied the many numerous gods that the Romans had, as well as the emperor worship of the day. The Romans couldn't understand how the Christians could put their sole faith in one God alone. So you see that the Christians of the early centuries are not so different from you and I. Not only did they profess the same belief in the God, but they also came under the same ridicule that we do today. They had to endure the taunts and the mockings of those around them who felt that they were better educated, who felt that they had attained a higher wisdom than Christ crucified. While Rome's polytheistic form of religion eventually collapsed, and so will all other forms outside of Christianity. And this is because of Christ crucified. We may not struggle with the same accusations that were brought against the early Christians, but be assured that no matter how long the world exists, that teaching of Christ crucified will come under strife, will be accused of by others. Many of you will graduate in a couple days, especially those from high school. You'll go on to other schools and pursue other forms of education. I did the same thing when I left Emmanuel. But one thing you won't get from these other schools, you may get a good education, you may go on to successful careers, but the one thing you won't get is Christ crucified. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to go to these schools, but remember that when you're there. Think about it when you attend those classes, and value and remember the education and the wisdom that you received here at Emmanuel, the fact that we taught Christ crucified. No matter what topic you're going to study, no matter what area of life you're going to focus on, you're never going to come across a more important teaching than Christ crucified for your sins. So I urge you, as you leave campus, as you eagerly await what the future holds, as you move on to new activities, remember what you learned here at Emmanuel. Remember what the most important thing is for you to take away from your education here. Hold on to Christ crucified and what it means for you. Take it with you no matter where you go and no matter who you encounter. And remember that Jesus Christ is with you no matter where you go, and that He has freely given you this gift, which is greater than any other wisdom, the fact that He has died for your sins. Amen. We close with hymn 769.